Where is Professor Clark Johnson? Professor Clark Johnson. Call for Professor Clark Johnson. There he is, Professor Clark Johnson, University of Wisconsin. He is an astrobiologist, exogeologist. What the heck are you?
I'm honored to come after the toilet piece. Thank
you. Yes, wonderful. Probably have them at the university, I would think. You should check that.
We do. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, got the threes? Or you might have the fours by now.
Fours? I don't know. I'll have to check.
Flushmatic fours?
I don't know. I'll have to check. Yeah.
Yeah, you are, you're in, what are you? What's your?
I'm an astrobiologist. I'm trained as a geologist, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is an astrobiologist? That seems to mean out in, biology out in space, that would seem to mean like little green people or something.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd term. Most people don't really know what that necessarily means. You might think that, you know, we think that the Men in Black series are all real, all the movies, you know, some Ken Burns documentary series or something like that, but that's not true.
No, we didn't think that.
Okay. I wasn't sure, though, coming on this show. Astrobiology is obviously interested in life in the universe elsewhere on other planets, maybe Mars, but we also do a lot of work on our own planet, looking at the evolution and origin of life on Earth. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty broad, and it blends astronomy, geology, biology, things like that.
Yeah. Well, I read some of your papers. I still couldn't figure out what you did, though. For example, let's see here now. Experimental determination of iron isotope fractionations among Mackinac White at low temperatures, implications for the rock record.
Yeah, that's a pretty exciting title, isn't it?
It was
engrossing. Yeah, I bet you couldn't put that one down.
No, I held it to my forehead and tried to absorb it that way, but through the skin.
Yep.
What was that all about?
Well, we've done a lot of work with iron, so we're interested in iron cycling.
Why'd you just say that?
Well, yeah.
Done a lot of work with iron.
Make it sound, quite... impressive. And so, the longer the title, sometimes you got to put a colon in there, too, to make it really long.
Yeah.
That's considered a better form for scientific publication.
Maybe you don't do the titles, though. Maybe that's Brian Beard's.
Yeah, well, we vary. We flip a coin on, titles and things like that.
I haven't
seen
anyone turn that. Like, for example, evidence for free oxygen in the Neo-Archean ocean based on coupled iron molybdenum isotope fractionation.
Yeah. No, that's another really mind-boggling title, isn't
it? Oh,
yeah.
To die for.
Right.
Title like
we're
that.
Trying to get that in the stores by Christmas.
Yeah. But I noticed that you are doing a lot of fractionation.
Yep, fractionations and isotopes. So these are different masses of different elements.
Okay. And why is that important to know?
They tell us something about the origin of the elements. And so that particular paper.
So before they were elements, they were something else.
No. It talked how they were cycled. So, for example, iron reacts differently whether we have oxygen in the atmosphere or whether we don't.
Naturally.
Yeah. So there you go. So whether things rust.
Why would you have to? You knew that.
Well, it also tells us whether things have been cycled by biology.
It's what?
It tells us whether things have been cycled by biology.
Oh, I see.
So that ties into this kind of astrobiology theme of, when did we have different microbes on the Earth, and could we look for that signature in a place like Mars?
Okay. Did you bring your rock?
What other papers?
Did you bring your rock, by the way?
I did bring the rock. It's right behind me.
Well, can I see your rock?
You want to see?
I'd love to see it. I've heard so much about it. He has an old rock.
The producer said you wanted to see an old rock.
It's a big old rock.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a beautiful rock, though.
It's going to be hard to describe this, but...
No, it's reddish.
This is 3.5 billion years old.
A lot of iron in there, I bet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. From the outback of Australia.
Nice rock.
It's what we call a stromatolite. It has these layers in them that are kind of conical shapes. So people maybe should imagine a small pyramid, maybe on the seafloor.
John, do you want to see this?
Yes. Then was
John, would you? He can't see it from that angle.
That then we layered on different photosynthetic mats on top of them, and so that's what this structure is that shows this kind of imagine a whole bunch of.
Do they know that this rock is missing in Australia? Or did you just walk in the outback somewhere and take a rock?
Well, this is actually a locality that you have to get permission. So we have permission from the Australian government to take this out.
Oh, you did, yeah.
So these are pretty rare, 3.5 billion years old. And
how old?
3.5 billion years old.
Go on.
Yeah, no, it is.
Shut up.
Yeah, absolutely.
3.5 billion years old?
Yeah,
kind of amazing. How old is the Earth?
About 4.5 billion years old.
So this was almost to the beginning of the Earth.
Yeah, pretty old. Yeah,
pretty close. Do we have any rocks that are actually the whole distance, go the whole distance back to the...
No. The Earth is so good at recycling rocks that the rock record pretty much ends
they
by
rise
about...
and fall, do they? They sink and
No, it's plate tectonics, moves things around, right?
Right.
But so, I mean, 3.8 must... billion years old is the oldest rock you can hold in your hand.
So that you have the oldest rock right now that you
can hold? No, 3.8. This is 3.5. It's a little bit younger.
Oh, it's a youngster.
Yeah, a little bit younger. Right, that's right.
Cute for that age. You could probably put it down. No, that's probably pretty heavy. I'd ask to hold it, but it looks quite heavy. It almost looks like a tree trunk, fossilized.
Actually, yeah, it's silicified with silica. Mm-hmm. So it's a petrified fossil. So yeah, absolutely. It's just analogous to a petrified tree. Only this is a microbial mat. There's no trees that are that age.
I am so startled by that information. I don't even know what to say. I say, you know, Mike, you always know what to say. I know not what to say to that. That's a mat of what, like algae or something like that? Or
Bacteria. Not exactly algae, but yeah, similar.
Like what would it be, though? Come on.
It'd be bacteria. And these were photosynthetic.
Yeah, but what do they look like? I mean,
very, very small. If you look,
I know those bacteria are small, but I mean, if a mat of them would be some size.
Yes, and these were, if you go out and look at this in the field, mm-hmm. it's hard to tell just by one rock, but this is part of an ancient shoreline that's about 100 kilometers long that you can see in the field. You can walk along that whole ancient shoreline. So
ancient
there were
shoreline.
Many of these.
And is that in the middle of Australia, this ancient shoreline?
It is, yep. So,
God,
well, the
that's
thing,
so
things
cool.
have changed in the last 3.5 billion years since those formed.
And certainly here in America, if that's where we are, right, where I'm speaking, there must be a lot of shorelines that also that were no water next to them. Is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, in
Wisconsin,
here
part of the Wisconsin thing, isn't it?
Well, Wisconsin's much younger. Most of the rocks are about 2 billion years old in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So Wisconsin, most of Wisconsin did not exist when these rocks were deposited in Australia.
But did we have a coast? Were we on the coast at one time?
We were. Yep, about 2 billion years ago.
Cool.
So there you go.
That's so cool. All right, so then, but then Mars, there are rocks on Earth that came from Mars, true?
Yes. Yes, they're meteorites.
Oh, they're meteorites, okay.
Right, so imagine a meteorite impacting Mars, launching off some debris, and some of it finding its way as a meteorite that falls to Earth. So there's about 20 or 30.
I'm trying to imagine that. Just give me a chance here.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Very rare, right.
So there's an impact on Mars.
Right.
Sent stuff
launches
flying.
Off debris. Debris is always falling to Earth.
Do you have one of those rocks?
Well, we have some in the department, yes.
You do? You didn't bring that, I noticed.
No, I didn't, no.
Those must be pretty valuable.
Yeah, those are, because they're very small.
There are. And what can you tell from that?
We can tell, for example, the age of certain types of crust on Mars. The oldest Mars meteorite we have is about 4.1 billion years old.
Whoa.
So that gets us to really older than the rocks that we can see on Earth.
Does that mean Mars is older than Earth?
No, they're about the same age. It's just the chance of preserving certain old rocks is very low on Earth because we're always having this
plate tectonics.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right.
It's a nuisance, really.
Yeah, it is.
Do they not have plate tectonics on Mars, or don't we know?
No, Mars probably did not have very much plate tectonics. So the surfaces that the Curiosity rover, for example, is driving on are probably very old.
And then there was this thing where they had, say, you know, they were implying they found some dust there that was very interesting in terms of possibly biology.
Right. Yeah. That's.
And, what is your feelings about that?
Well, NASA's having a news conference on Monday, but they've already issued a pre-press statement that kind of backing off the expectations that people thought. There was a lot of speculation that they would announce that there's organic molecules that they found, and I think they've clearly said no, that's not the case.
Oh.
So
they found nothing, but they're having a press conference about it.
Well, yeah, it's hard to know exactly what happened with the team there. I think you can speculate. I don't know for sure, but you could speculate that maybe they thought they had something exciting, and maybe subsequent analyses didn't pan that out.
Yeah.
So I think we'll find out on Monday what
that's like when
about.
The thing landed and they found something that looked like strange, like a piece of plastic. Yeah. On the surface of ancient plastic on the surface of Mars, which of course fell off of the damn thing when it was landing.
Yeah. Well, there's also a website that shows some beads, plastic beads. Did you see that on the internet?
No.
Someone put up a fake website showing that the Curiosity rover found some Mardi Gras beads. I'm not kidding. You can Google on that and you can find that.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Did you see this thing here? I saved it for you because I saw it. The rocks in Morocco.
Oh, right. Yep.
Do you still have that already? You probably have that already, huh?
No, we don't have that particular rock, but yep.
I mean, do you have the article probably?
Oh, yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are some chunk of Tissint meteorite. Is that the kind you have?
It's similar, yes.
But not Tissint?
No, not exactly.
Okay. These are probably better.
Probably.
Get a good Tissint.
Yeah, maybe.
Because they say they preserve some of the gases and stuff in the rock itself.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So you want to know something about the ancient atmosphere.
Yeah, and is that true of our rocks as well, our Mars rocks? Is there atmosphere in those?
There's very little trapped gases, so it's better to try to study Mars' atmosphere actually on Mars now, which is one of the things.
Oh, yeah, they could do that. They got a thing
Curiosity
up there.
Rover doing now, yeah exactly. Yeah.
I was so excited about trapped gases.
Well, no, that's important, too.
In the atmosphere.
Well, trapped gases would be of a different age than the modern.
Yeah, because
Mars
they might
atmosphere.
Have had, and we can assume they did have a much different atmosphere early several billion years ago.
Right. No, it clearly was very different.
Yes. And what do you have any conclusions about Mars? Is this an area of study of yours as to what that might have been like?
Well, most people argue that there's great evidence for liquid water on Mars probably 4 billion years ago or so. And so to have that, you must have had a much higher density atmosphere than you have today. So Mars's atmosphere has been lost over a long time.
How do you lose an atmosphere?
Mars mainly lost its atmosphere because of its small size and also because it has no magnetic field, so the solar wind abrades it off.
Yeah. How does it have no magnetic field? How can we have all the stuff that Mars doesn't have?
Well, we're bigger. We have a core, a liquid core.
Yeah,
that's
but why
still
does
liquid.
Mars have a core? Does Mars
smaller,
not?
Solidified more quickly?
But Uranus is bigger, and it doesn't have a core.
Different composition in the outer planets.
You mean tell me that in our solar system we're the only ones with a core?
No, the only one with a liquid core that has a magnetic field.
Wow.
So we can use compasses here. And also preserve life, which is also an important
interesting
thing.
So does that make our planet somewhat unique in terms
it does.
Of, if we can extrapolate all the exoplanets.
I mean, Mars might have been habitable 4 billion years ago, but it really isn't a very nice place to be right now for life.
Yeah, so it's kind of freakish. Earth is kind of a freakish
situation. Yeah, exactly.
In many ways.
Yeah.
But it had an atmosphere.
Mars.
Mars did.
Yes.
And what happened to it?
It was lost either because it's too small to hold on to it, in terms of the gravity, or else when the magnetic field of Mars collapsed, then the solar wind from the...
So it had a magnetic field that collapsed.
Collapsed, yep. And that would be abraded off.
How would that magnetic field have been generated without a core?
It had a core that was liquid initially, but then because it was so small of a body, it cooled down, so
it's
the core became solid.
Exactly. Oh, God. Is that happening on Earth? Could that happen on Earth?
Yeah, the core is slowly solidifying on Earth.
Is it something we should worry about, or is the Mayan apocalypse going to take care of that?
That's a good question. Yeah. People have made the calculations that it'll be maybe 20 billion years before our core is solid, so I wouldn't worry about it right now.
I'll cross it off my list.
Yes.
Those are the bottom
There are other things to worry about.
Yeah, definitely. Do you do some work for NASA?
Yes.
Yep. Can you say sort of what types of things, or is that classified or something?
No. Yeah, you're right. Our work... in astrobiology is looking at the signatures of life that we can tease out of these isotopes, all those fancy titles that you read of these papers. Mm-hmm. And we use that to look at old rocks on Earth, like this one that I brought today, mm-hmm. Or else on samples that we might eventually return from Mars someday.
Mm-hmm. And have we made any interesting conclusions or discoveries along these lines?
Well, one of the big things that our group found was that we had a very different iron cycle on Earth about 2.5 billion years ago. In fact, all the metal in this room right here, we now know was cycled by bacteria about 2 to 3 billion years ago.
Hmm.
It's kind of interesting. All this iron that we have in the room and everybody uses in their everyday life comes from these things called banded iron formations.
Banded R?
Banded iron formations.
Oh, banded iron.
Yeah. And so there are these layered, massive iron formations, and we now know those were all cycled by bacteria. So it's kind of interesting that...
Cycled
stuff that
by bacteria? You mean they ate them?
Bacteria actually used iron for respiration. So like we use oxygen
for
respiration. They used iron.
They consumed them.
Yep, consumed it.
And they released certain forms of gas, as we might?
They would. Yeah, different
wouldn't
kinds
be methane,
of gas.
No.
Yeah.
Would be methane.
Not methane. No. No.
What sort of gas would they release?
They would actually break up organic carbon to make carbon dioxide.
Oh. So that could be life promoting as well.
Yeah, it could be. Right. And then that would feed into photosynthesis. So it's a cycle.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Fascinating stuff. Fascinating stuff.
Crazy.
Yeah. Do you have any instruments on satellites or thing that UW has worked on?
We don't have any on Mars now. We're working with NASA JPL to build some miniature mass spectrometers for future missions.
Miniature mass spectrometers.
Right.
What do they get for one of those?
Those are all custom built. So
I'd like to have. I'm disappointed with my personal electronics.
Yeah. Maybe like you could talk to your refrigerator then. Right? That's what your goal is, right?
The mass spectrometer. What does that do again?
That measures these isotopes, these different masses of different elements, mm-hmm. and then that we use as a signature for whether this was a signature of ancient life or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't the UW have some of those things orbiting though? Don't they have some orbiting things that they built?
There are mini mass spectrometers that are also, you know, in orbit. Our own particular group is focused on a future Mars mission.
Okay. I'm looking for Badger Pride here.
You are, yeah, I know. Yeah. There is.
Badger Pride in space.
Yeah, there is.
Yep. Excellent. Thank you so much, Professor Clark Johnson. Fascinating. Don't forget your rock, because those are hard to come by.
Yeah.
There you go, astrobiologist, University of Wisconsin. Badgers on Mars. Thank you for coming in, Professor. I know you got papers to write.